This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
I used to think that race walking was the funniest Olympic event. When you hear about it, you probably think, hey, we've already figured out a better way to get places fast. It's called running, idiots. And if you watch a clip of race walkers, you probably think, hey, these guys look like they're all about to poop their pants. They're pumping their legs as fast as they can, but they seem to think that jogging will open poop Dora's box. With that in mind, I made sure to see the race walk in person when I covered the 2016 Olympics in Rio. I was ready for a day full of laughter and poop. Little did I know that I was walking directly into the gates of hell. The race walking course was a hot strip of asphalt that the walkers repeatedly walked up and down in the scorching sun and humidity for 50 kilometers. That's 31 miles, about 18% longer than a marathon, but without the scenery, shade, or prestige that marathon runners get. A few minutes after I arrived, I saw a Lithuanian walker starting to lose it. His pace was slowing, his form was gone. He wasn't race walking anymore, he was stumbling like someone had been replacing his Gatorade with Four Loko. And then, boom! He collapsed. He was pale as a corpse, sweat still pouring off his body as race officials carted him off in a wheelchair. He'd barely made it halfway through the race. 80 men started the race, only 49 finished. And many of those who did required medical attention immediately afterward. One such race walker was Canadian Evan Dunphy. He finished in fourth place, excruciating. He gave everything he could for 4 hours, but then went to the medical tent instead of the medal podium. He crossed the finish line and crumpled in a heap on the scorching concrete.
Yeah, I made it 50,000 meters and I didn't have 50,001 in me. I had enough energy to hit stop on the watch so that I had all the data, and then I collapsed.
After 4 long hours of watching race walking, I left with a lifelong respect for the athletes who do it. But most people don't share that opinion. In fact, because of the event's lack of popularity, the IOC is pulling the plug on the 50K event after these games, which brings me to my point. This is our last chance to watch the longest, toughest, and most underappreciated race at the Olympics. This is the Ringer Guide to the Summer Games. I'm your host, Roger Sherman. Today's sport of the day, race walking. I like to imagine that the first race walking event ever had one rule.
No running.
But as with the lifeguard at your local pool, enforcing no running was an issue. One competitor probably started jogging and the other race walker said, "Damn it, Steve, we agreed, no running." And then Steve said, "Actually, I was just walking really fast. Sorry you guys aren't as good at walking as me." So to maintain that one rule of race walking, there are now 2 rules of race walking. Your front leg has to be straight, and at least one of your feet has to be on the ground at all times. Now that you know the rules, you can try race walking yourself. It's easy, right? Just hop on a treadmill, set the speed to 7 miles per hour, and start walking. Remember, don't run. Now, keep it up for 4 hours. Yeah, 4 hours. Sorry, you're probably going to need to get a longer podcast. I'm guessing you didn't make it the full 4 hours. If you tried race walking for even a few minutes, you can understand how the 50K event truly pushes the body to its limits. Like marathoners, race walkers try to drink and eat on the course. They need water to avoid cramps and calories to fuel endurance. Their bodies are churning and exerting, ingesting, and sometimes, unfortunately, excreting. At the 2016 walk I went to in Rio, French world champion Johan Denis had jumped out to a huge lead, but then had some problems during the race. He later referred to them as stomach issues. He was quoted by French newspaper Le Monde as saying, "Je chie du sang." Translation, I'm shitting blood. Everything really does sound a lot prettier in French. At this point, you may be wondering why anybody chooses to take part in competitive race walking or watch it. Imagine watching a 2 hour long marathon and being like, I need to see the Snyder cut of that. Longer, slower, and with significantly more blood. So after the 2020 Olympics, the IOC is getting rid of the 50K race walk. There'll still be a 20K race walk plus a new mixed gender team event. But the 50K, which has been a part of the Olympics since 1932, will be dead. The IOC's explanation is that it wants to make the Olympics gender balanced, and there is no women's 50K race walk. Since race walking falls under the broad umbrella of track and field, and the track and field people have much more prominent races to worry about, they didn't really put up much of a fight. It would be just as easy to add a women's 50K race walk as to eliminate the 50K entirely. But the IOC would rather dump the men's version than allow a women's version to flourish.
Race walking only makes sense as an endurance spectacle. And the 50K is the longest foot race at the Olympics. And that's what race walking should be. You know, the 20K, it's a sprint by comparison. You don't get to see the endurance on full display as you do in the 50K walk. You know, the 50K is just, it's survival, especially when you're competing in the heat, like Tokyo will be, or we'll be racing in Sapporo, but it will still be hot. And that just wreaks havoc on the body when you're out there for 3.5-4 hours.
That's Evan again. And I'm going to interrupt him for just a sec. Another great way you can tell that race walking is an afterthought to the IOC, it isn't even letting the race walkers go to Tokyo. They'll be in Sapporo, about 500 miles away, and they can't even walk those 500 miles. Okay, sorry, Evan. Go back to telling us about how race walking wreaks havoc on your body.
I take in about 4 liters of fluid and 1,500 calories in that 4 hours. So certainly having some stomach issues is something you hope not to have, but it's certainly occurred a few times where you just kind of have to make a decision. Do I stop by the side of the course here for a quick reprieve, or do I power through? And it's a decision that every race walker in the 50K is faced with at some point in their careers.
Just so we're clear, what number are we talking about?
Going number one is very common. That's just kind of, I'm comfortable doing that in a race. I have teammates who have perfected the art of doing it while still, in training, can just pull their shorts to one side, provided we are in a secluded area, and relieve themselves while continuing to train. It's an impressive skill that I have not mastered. But certainly, yes, having things go awry at the other end is not a fun thing to be tasked with.
This event is a beast. It breaks your body. It makes you potty. To me, it's close to the ideal of what the Olympics once aspired to be about, pushing the human body to the very limit, not for fame or cash, but just to see who can be the best. It doesn't require billion-dollar stadiums to be built. They just have to close off a single road, and it's accessible to all. Anyone can show up and watch. But the Olympics no longer have room for this perfect Olympic event.
It's heartbreaking for me to have it be taken away. And you know, I'll defend to my death the validity and the amazingness of the 50K walk. But unfortunately, the IOC doesn't see eye to eye, and there's not much profit to be made from it. So it's, you know, it's gone the way of the dodo.
This summer brings the end of the 50K race walk at the Olympics. After a long, arduous, painful journey, it has collapsed, just like that stumbling Lithuanian. This year's race will be long and ugly, filled with men wobbling and falling and maybe pooping. We have one last chance to celebrate these valiant competitors. Let's watch them walk quickly into that good night. I'd like to thank our associate producers, Erica Cervantes and Lonnie Rinaldo, who literally made these episodes. Additional thanks go to Ben Glicksman and Arjuna Ramgopal. I'd especially like to thank The Ringer's fact-checking team for making sure I didn't say anything wrong in these episodes. And I'd like to thank you for listening.